Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy Thursday, Dominic. Day one of the Masters.
Happy Thursday to you, Fancy Brian, our fair audience. Thank you so much for joining us.
Dominic, we got a fine guest joining us right from the top. But let me tell you about the show briefly. In the 4 o'clock Happier Wisconsin Happy Hour, we've got the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Administration. Number one, the top cabinet secretary. Did somebody warn the governor that Joel Brennan would be joining us?
I hope Joel did.
At 4:05? But beyond that, we've got the Attorney General of the great state of Wisconsin, Josh Call. He will also join us in the Happier 4 o'clock Happy Hour. But right now, from the top down, we've got Brendan Fisher. He is the Federal Reform Program Director with the Campaign Legal Center. And more importantly, we'd like to thank a friend of ours. Brendan, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Brendan.
Brendan, let's talk about Ted Cruz. That's the topic, at least to start the day. If I understand this correctly, Ted Cruz used his campaign to promote his book sales, including promoting specific retailers. First and foremost, is that illegal? And secondly, how similar is that to Scott Walker's presidential campaign?
Yes, it is illegal. So one of the things that you can't do with campaign funds is personally benefit. So you cannot use campaign funds and put them in your pocket. You can't pay yourself $1 million salary. But if you are receiving royalties on a book that you authored, or at least that was authored in your name, you can't use campaign funds to promote it. And that's exactly what Ted Cruz did. He spent around $18,000 on Facebook ads that expressly promoted his book. The ad said, buy my book. They provided a link to buy the book from Amazon and Books A Million and other online booksellers. And that's a pretty clear violation of federal campaign finance law. So we filed a complaint with the Federal Election Commission. And you know, even though the FEC is often pretty broken, this is the kind of thing that they tend to enforce. So I would not be surprised if we see some financial penalties levied against Ted Cruz.
Well, perhaps he won't be able to afford another trip to Cancun. But ultimately, isn't this what a lot of the Republicans have begun doing? And I'm only half kidding when I say Scott Walker, because during his presidential campaign, if my memory serves, he used like the 527 process. He used a super PAC and he wrote a book. And of course, he promoted the book. He'd sign the book and then sell the book at some tremendous profit through his super PAC. You know, if you give $150, you get an autographed book. Isn't that a similar workaround of the campaign finance laws? And in the very same virtue, you're selling more books.
Yeah. Unintimidated. That was Walker's book. I remember that. You know, there are some fine lines here. And, you know, I think it is a pretty common practice for candidates to write a book. And the FEC has said that you can't use campaign funds to buy a book that you're receiving royalties on. But they created an exception where if the campaign buys the book from the publisher and the publisher agrees not to pay the candidate royalties on those purchases, then it's okay. So there's a little bit of line drawing there. I mean, there's still clearly a benefit that's coming to the candidate when the campaign buys copies of the book, even without receiving royalties, because it helps bump up book sales. It helps with the candidate's publicity and their name recognition. But that's where they drew the line. And that's where, you know, that's why Ted Cruz's violation here is so, you know, kind of surprising, because there's a lot of ways that he could have done something similar legally. He could have bought his own book using campaign funds, didn't receive royalties on it, and handed it out to donors, you know, in exchange for a big contribution. But that's not what he did. he violated some pretty clear precedent that the FEC has laid down here.
The campaign finance laws have been so corrupted. I mean, really, it's kind of the Wild West. To think that he couldn't live within the constraints of the Wild West says something about the guy that is Ted Cruz.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Brendan Fisher, Federal Reform Program Director, Campaign Legal Center. Sorry about that, Brendan. Go ahead.
Oh, no worries. No worries. Yep. Yeah, I mean, this is kind of par for the course with Ted Cruz. Nothing new with this guy.
Well, and this is, it seems like money laundering to me. You know what I mean? Like, if I just, you know, write a bunch of words into a book, and I want to be clear here, there's distinctions whether or not this book can be bought by the actual campaign or through perhaps a coordinated third party, right, in which you could still receive those royalties. And I would also add, you know, depending on how the deal is structured, the upfront money. I think Ted Cruz in this particular book deal with this conservative publisher received upwards of $400,000 as a front load payment, right?
Yeah, $400,000 upfront, and then 15% royalties on every book sale. So yeah, Cruz is raking it in. That'll pay for a lot of trips to Cancun.
So does the royalty, does he have to, you know, breach that $400,000 upfront payment with the royalties before he gets additional payments then? Is that how this is structured? Do you know?
That's my reading of it. Yeah. And Cruz disclosed this on his personal financial disclosure report filed with Senate Ethics. And that was my read of it, that he got $400,000 upfront. And then the 15% royalties went to that $400,000, and then everything above the $400,000 benefited, you know, would have gone into his pocket. But regardless, I mean, using campaign funds to promote sales of your book is unlawful, regardless of whether it's helping pay off your advance or going directly into your pocket.
Brendan, if I understood, perhaps it was the reporting of the New York Times, and you're quoted there, I believe, but the argument, the defense possibly is the fact the Cruz didn't actually exceed the 400,000 threshold, didn't sell enough books to earn any royalties, and therefore he's not self-dealing. Is that a plausible defense, sir?
No, and it's not at all clear what their defense is. And it seems like it's shifted a little bit over time. You know, I think initially they said that Cruz is not receiving royalties at all from book sales. And that's clearly not true. It's right there in his financial disclosure report. And then the more recent statement seems to be he's not receiving royalties on these sales. And, you know, that's impossible to believe, too, because there's no real way of tracking how many people bought Cruz's book, you know, as a result of these Facebook ads.
Right. So
you can't possibly. So even if Cruz were to tell the publisher, don't give me royalties on the books bought as a result of my Facebook ads, you know, that would be meaningless because there's no possible way of tracking it.
And he was specifically linking retailers.
Yes, he was linking to Amazon, to Books a Million, to other online retailers. You know, it might be one thing if he was telling people to buy the book directly from the publisher, because then there'd be a way of tracking it, but not when you're buying it from third parties.
Brendan, about the third party coordination, which I brought up before. And again, if you were just trying to launder money, you could coordinate with a third party organization to buy your book at whatever price. And if you sign it, you know, you can mark it up even more, and you could put that legally, quote unquote, in your pocket, right? As a politician writing this book, but you could basically funnel money directly to the candidate through these third party organizations, with the book being the laundered piece of asset, right? Isn't that really what this comes down to? At least with the third party portion, there's no protection of the royalty like there is in the campaign.
Yeah, it's a great point. So, you know, Cruz cannot use his own campaign funds for his personal benefit. He can't buy copies of the book and then receive royalties off of those sales. But, you know, if a super PAC were to do it, if a dark money group were to do it, even if the RNC were to do it, even if the RNC were to buy a bunch of copies of Cruz's book, he could receive royalties on those payments or on those purchases. It's an example of, you know, just how messy the campaign finance system has gotten and how many different players there are in the system as a whole.
Brendan, as an aside, Mitch McConnell this week sort of took contradictory views on the input corporations should have in the political process. First saying, corporations, stay out of it, except with your checkbooks. And then later sort of pivoted and said, no, it's okay. You can still be involved in politics, because apparently he feels like that's the constitutional reading and probably got some pressure from some CEOs. What was your take on Mitch McConnell this week?
Yeah, pretty astonishing. There were few people in politics today that have done as much as Mitch McConnell to open the floodgates to corporate money in politics. And McConnell's argument all along is that money is speech. Money needs to be treated the exact same way as speech. and corporations have a right to free speech just like anybody else. You know, ergo, corporations should be allowed to write million-dollar checks and pour unlimited amounts of money into politics, even secretly. But now he's drawing distinctions. Now he seems to be saying, you know, actually, corporations shouldn't speak. Corporations and CEOs should not speak if they're using words and if they're using actions. What they should be allowed to do is pour money into my pocket, into my campaign. So it's kind of the height of hypocrisy. But, you know, again, I guess what would you expect from Mitch McConnell?
Final question.
Go ahead, Curtie. Go on, man.
Well, my final question, Joe Manchin, HR 1, SB 1 is not going to pass without a filibuster to change any of these abuses of campaign finance law. We really need change of the law, don't we, Brendan?
Yeah. I mean, right now, with the filibuster in place, you need 60 votes to get anything to pass, to get democracy reform to pass. Manchin says he supports ending dark money and protecting voting rights, but he has not yet come out and said that he would do away with the filibuster. So we're going to have to see where he goes on this.
Brendan Fisher, our fine guest, Federal Reform Program Director from the Campaign Legal Center. We'll catch up soon. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Devil's Advocates.
Thanks, Brendan.
All right, thanks for having me.
Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates and a recruitment of Senator Ron Johnson, a surprising source. Trump has offered an early endorsement. Ron ain't even running yet. Come back, more Devils.
Baby, you're no good.
When people try to sell books, they do all sorts of interesting, exotic things.
Ted Cruz, go f*** yourself.
If you killed Ted Cruz on the floor of the Senate and the trial was in the Senate, nobody could convict you.
Freedom!
Oh, he got all of